Coming up on All Access.
Welcome to Heinz Field at the confluence of the Three Rivers here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Don't make the plays all day long. Kiki's at three. One, two, three, Kiki.
Tom throws down the left seam for Gronkowski. Catch it, stride past the five. Into the end zone.
Finally.
I'm talking about. I know. I know.
Good shot.
Malcolm Butler leaping in the end zone. Takes it away for the Patriots.
I just turned around and found the ball. You know, it was probably a 50-50 ball, but, you know, I got in position to go get it.
I wanted to give dogs more views. I had more followers than her rescue had at the time, and it kind of grew bigger than we probably would have thought it would have with just a couple Instagram posts.
Any division game is a big game, and division game on the road, of course, is just makes it a little bit bigger. So it's a great opportunity for us. Hopefully we'll be able to go out there and perform well for 60 minutes and, you know, play a very competitive game.
On a day where there was not a lot of drama, New England went into Pittsburgh to defeat the Steelers. Happy Halloween, everybody, and welcome to Patriots All Access presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. The 6-1 Patriots have one more game before their bye week, and they are back on the road to take on their closest competitor in the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills, the only team to have defeated New England to date. It should be a fun one in upstate New York. But before we preview the Bills, let's take a look back at the sights and sounds of their win over the Steelers.
The sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots.
Welcome to Heinz Field at the confluence of the Three Rivers here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The story this afternoon as the Patriots meet the Steelers is that a quarterback who calls Pittsburgh his adopted home won't be available today.
Hey, 60 minutes of our best football today. That's what we need.
Go making plays all day long. TE's on three. One, two, three.
Can't be rested as hell. Let's be as physical as we can.
We work too hard. Dig deep. And let's cash the game. Let's go. Trenches on three. One, two, three.
A lot of room to run to the 50. Cuts it right to the 10. Touchdown, Patriots!
Way to go, guys. Way to go. Let's go.
Throw down the middle for Gronkowski. Has it. LeGarrette Blount into the end zone.
That's it. Way to go.
Guys, you're doing a good job, man. Keep it up.
War of attrition all the way through. I've got to grind hard. We got to grind hard and keep going. That's it. That's it.
All right, hands in there tight and control, right? Look, and he's hunting, pecking behind the line. As soon as you jump off, he's on the other side, right?
Patience
and good hand placement.
Touchdown, Pittsburgh.
You want a ball game? You got one.
And the Steelers have pulled within four at 14-10 with 2 seconds to go here in the opening half in Pittsburgh.
Size.
Fans frantically waving their terrible towels here in Pittsburgh. Tom throws down the left seam for Gronkowski. Catching scratch at the five. Into the end zone.
Finally. That gets him right back in control this game.
What the f*** I'm talking about? I know!
I know!
I said I was
good shot!
Hey! Hey, we needed that.
Give to Blunt. Big hole left side. Yeah. Cuts inside to the end zone. His second touchdown for the Patriots.
All good.
Former Steeler LeGarrette Blunt helps to pave the way with his 127 rushing yards and two touchdowns off 24 carries.
There we go.
It's always good here.
You got it.
Good win. Good win, big guy. Tough.
Good job, baby.
Great game, man.
Nice. That's what we need right there.
Two DAs out there battling.
Just two DAs out there playing.
How about Malcolm? We catch him in practice.
Yeah.
We catch him in a game. All right, how about that? It all starts right there. It's a way to run the rock, LG. That's a way to run the rock, man.
Yeah.
Nice job. Nice job. All right, look, fellas, it's tough to come in here and win. All right, it's a battle every time. It's tough to come in here. It's a tough football team. They're well coached. They're disciplined, fast. All right, and they're big. So it's a good job here. All right, division game on the road. Doesn't get any bigger than this. It's a good job here today, fellas. Okay, let's break it down. Let's get on to Buffalo.
Hey, fellas, that's a big time character win, man. We learned a lot about ourselves today. We proved a lot today, man. I like that, man. Hell of a job. Jamie Lee, hi, Dev and Co.
Game, fellas.
Tomas, Line and Co. Everybody, man. That's how it's got to be. But in the meantime, how do we feel about being 6-1?
Time now for Coffee with the Coach. Brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time to sit down with the coach. Coach Belichick joins me now. Coach, before we get to Buffalo, real quick on Pittsburgh. You look at your offense and you start that game. Pittsburgh maybe did a little some things different to take away your tight ends or take away the ball down the field. You guys really ran the ball well early in that game. How much did you have to adjust to say, you know what, we're going to be committed to running the football here today?
Well, I think that was probably part of their game plan was to play a lighter box and try to get on the receivers tight and just say how much do you want to run it. Thought our offensive line and the tight ends and, of course, LeGarrette did a real good job of, you know, not only running the ball but making some explosive plays that, you know, kind of changed field position a couple times, and that was really helpful. But plus we ran the ball in,
sure,
in the red area and got those touchdowns, which, as it turned out, holding them to field goals and us scoring touchdowns was kind of the point differential in the game. So the red area running game was probably as impactful for us as the out in the field game was. So
okay, seven games into this thing, LeGarrette Blunt, 25 carries last week. Getting to the point where maybe you got to watch a pitch count with him. It just seems like the more he gets the rock late in the game, seems to wear his teams down. Can he hold up like that for 16 games? Do you have to watch that at all?
Well, I think LeGarrette's a pretty durable player. I think if you remember back a couple of years ago when we played Buffalo in the rain at the end of the season, he carried the ball a lot and returned kickoffs and everything else. So, you know, he's a big, strong player that can carry a big load. And, you know, there have been games in the past where he's only had a handful of carries because of more of a passing game. And we may have one of those before too long, before the year's out. I don't know. But I think the big thing is he's ready to go, and we need him, and we need him to take a lot of carries. He did that in Pittsburgh. As I said, there'll probably be some point in the year where we don't need him to do that, and the load will fall to somebody else. So we need to make sure everybody's ready to go.
All right, we'll talk about your kicker real quick. Steve was real hard on himself after the game. You talked about relating it to a golf swing, different, you know, whether you're hitting a sand wedge, whether you're driving the ball. He's working through this, right? And you've talked about we've got to work through this. Could it be as easy as getting into Buffalo and having the wind swirl and he hits a big kick and boom, he's out of this?
I think it could be, absolutely. Yeah. Steve's a good kicker. Steve works hard. He has good fundamentals. He has good techniques. And, you know, it's a full operation. It's a snapper. It's a holder. It's, you know, the entire operation. It's not just putting the ball on a tee and kicking it. There are other things involved. And, you know, our timing's got to improve. I know that Steve's working hard at it, as Ryan and Joe Cardona, Joe Judge, our special teams coach, Bubba, they all are. So I have a lot of confidence in that unit. And, you know, if we need a big kick, I have no hesitation about putting them out there and kicking it.
All right, thanks a lot, Coach. Coach will return later in the show, and we talk about the Buffalo Bills, but more of All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
We spend the day with Patriots cornerback and noted dog lover, Logan Ryan.
These are my type of dogs right here. These are the dogs I like.
But first, find out the Patriots' mindset as they prepare for a rematch with the Bills.
You know, you just got to go out there and do the best we can do. You know, Sunday will tell everything.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to All Access, presented by GEICO. The Patriots will attempt to avenge their loss to the Bills from a month ago. Dan Roach tells us that motivation should not be an issue this week.
After leaving Pittsburgh with their sixth win of the season Sunday, the Patriots turned their attention to an already familiar opponent.
We have seen an emotional spillover before this game.
Yes, the Buffalo Bills, the team that handed the Pats their first shutout in the history of Gillette Stadium back on week four, a game in which three Bills were fined for inciting a pregame altercation.
Football is a game of high emotions, as we've discussed several times, but you got to be able to control those emotions. Regardless of what went on before the game, they beat us, so hopefully, like I said, we can do enough to prevent that from happening again.
With the 4-3 Bills blanking of the Pats 26 days ago here in Foxborough, Buffalo was looking for its first series sweep of the Pats since 1999.
Obviously, you watched the game you had before and you learned from it, but also just realize it's a new week. It's a new game. No matter what happened last week, the last time you played a team, you just got to go out there and execute for this one Sunday to go out there and win.
And even though Tom Brady is back leading the offense, the Pats know Buffalo's top 10 NFL defense is dangerous. The team that leads the league in red zone defense and is second in sacks with 21.
They can rush. They got the guy leading the league in sacks, and they can, the linebackers, Zach Brown's leading the league in tackles. They got good cover corners, good safeties, got a good scheme. They do a lot of things well.
As for Brady, the 39-year-old has shown no ill effects from missing the first month of the season, as he's completed 75% of his passes while throwing 8 touchdowns and no interceptions and leading his team to a 3-0 record.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like I'm just kind of getting going in football season, and it's already halfway point.
Now, Sunday will mark the 114th meeting between the Patriots and the Buffalo Bills. The Patriots have 69 wins over Buffalo, most against any opponent. Second most, the New York Jets with 59. From the CBS scene in Foxborough for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, everyone. Joining me now is Patriot cornerback Malcolm Butler, who's having a pretty good year so far. And let's go back to last game. In the locker room, after the game, we saw Bill Belichick say, you catch him in practice, you catch him in the game. What does that mean?
Basically, just mean, you know, practice come game reality. You know, you have a good practice, you most likely going to have a good game. You know, I always turn out that way, but you do good things at practice, you'll do them in the game. It's just practice of your craft, practice just executing, doing the right thing. So it just translates to the game.
This is your third year in the league. How much more comfortable are you now? And how so?
You know, just sometimes not overthinking, you know. Mm-hmm. Not overthinking the material, the game plan, and just going out there being loose a little bit and just playing and, just not thinking so hard. Going out there trying to have fun, trying not to make it so serious all the time. But you got to be locked in. So when you're serious, you're locked in. So it's all come with the game.
How did you get the nickname Scrappy?
Just a scrappy guy, man. You know, like to compete. I think Jamie and Gerard Mayo came up with that.
I was going to say, who came up with that, right?
Yeah, Jamie and Gerard Mayo. Yeah, when I first got here as a rookie, so they kind of started that.
Last year when you started, you know, you had to cover Antonio Brown. You always cover the top receivers. Is there a certain mindset that you enjoy doing that? When you get to that, you got to shut down these guys. What is your mindset?
Most definitely, when you get a good matchup, one of the top wide receivers in the NFL, you most definitely going to want to bring your A game. You're going to bring your preparation up, and you're going to be amped. But, you know, at the same time, I learned, you know, you got to do that for everyone. You mm-hmm. can't. So I learned from that. So, you know, just I'm blessed to have the opportunity, you know, just trying to get better and work and move forward.
You know, I look at you, and obviously you're not very big, but when I see you play, you're a very good tackler. Okay, and cornerbacks, you know what? Some cornerbacks are great tacklers, some aren't. You take a lot of pride in that?
Most definitely. It don't look good. it don't look good, and, you know, it lessens your value. You know, you got to be able to tackle, cover, you got to be able to do everything. Mm-hmm. Run, break, the backers can't get there, you there. Your teammates and your coaches and the fans, everyone depending on you to make that tackle. So it's just part of the game. You got to be able to tackle.
All right, happy Halloween.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Good luck this weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Malcolm Butler, I guess. We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Congratulations to Coach Bob Lomb of Wareham High School, who's been selected as the Patriots High School Coach of the Week. This is Lomb's first season at the helm of the Vikings, who improved to 5-2 on the season and a share of the conference championship.
And I want to say congratulations.
Presenting the award is Patriots Hall of Fame linebacker Andre Tippett. The Patriots Charitable Foundation will award $1,000 to the Wareham football program in the name of head coach Bob Lomb.
1, 2, 3, Vikings!
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Coach returns. We talk about Buffalo. Out of the AFC North for at least now until we see Baltimore later in the year. It's good to be back in the division. It's kind of getting to the point, too, where you got a chance to get some separation here, you know, going up to Buffalo. How excited are you for this opportunity?
Yeah, well, any division game is a big game, and the division game on the road, of course, is just makes it a little bit bigger, so it's a great opportunity for us. You know, Buffalo's playing very well, and, you know, I'm sure that they'll be at their best on Sunday for us and, you know, in front of the home crowd and all that, so. You know, we just have to do a much better job than we did in the first game. We have to coach better. We have to prepare better. We have to play better. We just need a better day than we had here, you know, a month ago. So that's the focus all week. And you know, hopefully we'll be able to go out there and perform well for 60 minutes and, you know, play a very competitive game.
I know there's no bad blood on your side. You don't encourage it, but something happened prior to the game here in Foxborough. You have to talk to the team about not taking any of the cheese or the bait that they tend to like to do sometimes.
Yeah, again, I think what we really need to focus on is just our performance and our preparation for the game on Sunday. And if we go out there and play 60 minutes of good football, we'll be all right. If we don't, then we won't. And, you know, we'll be talking about a bunch of other stuff. So, you know, hopefully we can prepare well and go out there and perform well on Sunday. And really, that's what we need to do.
All right, time now for the Ace Ticket Twitter question of the week, and it comes from Holly in Foxborough. Wants to ask you about deals you make here prior to the trade deadline. You've done it over the years, acquired some players. Is that something that you guys study, or this? There's a need for the team this year? It seems like it's pretty consistent over the last couple of years, you guys going out making a couple moves right before it.
Well, it takes two to make a deal, yeah. So you have to see somebody that you want to acquire, and then you have to be able to come to an agreement with another team to be able to make the transaction. Sometimes those happen, sometimes they don't. There have been a few of them over the last couple of years. I think Nick Caserio and Dave Ziegler, his staff, do a good job of, you know, monitoring that. And again, sometimes those opportunities come up, and maybe sometimes, you know, somebody want to trade from one of your players, you don't want to trade them, or you want to trade for somebody else's player, and they don't want to trade them. Right. And that's, That's part of it, too. So when it works out, it works out. When it doesn't, it doesn't. And, you know, we understand that. But just keeping the line of communication open and trying to see what our options are. And if we can find a way to improve our team, then we're definitely about that.
All right, great answer. If you want to ask the coach a question, you got to follow the team on Twitter, at Patriots, hashtag it AskBB. We're going to do the Belastrator later. You may see a player we never heard of, I'm hearing, on the Belastrator. As far as when we talk Buffalo, you know, we're used to LeSean McCoy and company.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've got some guys that are really playing well for them. Okay. And, one in particular is a big impact player on defense and special teams.
All right, Coach, great tease right there. More Patriots All Access coming back right after this. Belastrator later.
Coming up on All Access.
Has Logan Ryan gone to the dogs? We'll explain.
I always was a dog person. I always grew up with a dog as a pet. But now I view dogs more as family members.
And later, Coach Belichick previews a rematch with the only team to defeat the Patriots to date, the Buffalo Bills.
Excellent, excellent tackle right there on Jarvis Landry, who's, as we know, one of the top returners in the league.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Gillette One Pro Glide Refill, up to 1 month of comfortable shaves. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. This player profile is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
For 4 years now, Patriots fans have grown accustomed to cornerback Logan Ryan helping the defense out with a pass defensed or an interception. Earlier this week, we met up with Ryan and his fiance to learn about a rescue mission that is near and dear to their hearts.
Ready to save some dogs today?
I guess so.
This whole thing got started really with my fiance, Ashley. I give her 100% of the credit all the time, but this is really a passion of hers. This is a field that she works in.
It's every day for me. This is my job. When my daughter goes to sleep, I respond to rescue emails. When she's awake, I'm probably still making phone calls.
There you go, slobber monster, yeah.
I brought Logan into this when I really, really wanted to adopt a pit bull. I felt like if I was going to advocate for the breed and, you know, talk the talk, I needed to walk the walk. So I put it out there for him, and I pretty much all but begged.
How I got involved was we rescued my dog Leo, who was a blue pit. He was found up roaming the streets of Boston. And we brought him into our family, and he's been the greatest addition to our family. He's a lot of joy. We fear that if we didn't do that, then he probably would have been put down. That kind of gave me the idea to go out there and try to do this for other dogs and give them a chance to have maximum exposure for families to be able to do the same thing that we've done for Leo and that Leo's done for us. Come on. Pretty cool. We haven't done anything like that.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, looking right at me.
Yep. Ryan's Monthly Rescue is a social media campaign where Logan goes into local shelters and rescues and takes photos with adoptable dogs. He then posts them on his Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and promotes that dog to help get it exposure and eventually find a home.
When you think of social media as a whole, it's, you know, the people who follow your pages and your friends who follow your friends' pages. Ryan's Monthly Rescue really helps open up new people to see the dogs that we've been sharing for a long period of time to try to help them find a home. It opens it up to a whole new world of people who have never have seen that dog that's available for adoption.
I just wanted to give dogs more views. I had more followers than her rescue had at the time, and it kind of grew bigger than we probably would have thought it would have with just a couple Instagram posts. Ava, come on. Good girl, sit.
This is my type of dog right here. This is the dog that I like.
I always was a dog person. I always grew up with a dog as a pet, but now I view dogs more as family members.
Shelters are important for the community as a whole. You know, they're very important for people and for animals, and for making sure that, you know, animals have a safe haven to go to, even if someone is unable to take care of their pet or if they're just picked up off the street.
Look at him. This is really great for him.
Shelters do the best they can, but it's not an ideal situation for any dog. That's why it's important to find the right family to get these dogs a better chance at life. Each dog get adopted is a success in itself. If it was only one dog the first year, then that one dog would have been a success for us, because that's one more family, happy family, and happy dog.
Because that's one less dog in a shelter, one less dog that, you know, needs to be saved, and gives room for another dog to be saved in its place.
He just likes belly rubs, just to hang out. It's a lot of fun, and I get a lot of enjoyment out of it, for sure.
Do a work for butt rubs. Yeah.
All right, time now for Turf, brought to you by Gillette. It is Buffalo
Sexy Rexy week.
Tyrod Taylor, how do you stop him?
Well, you know, he probably won't have LeSean McCoy, and if he does, he's going to be, let's just say, 50%. But I think he's going to have to throw the football. And obviously, you're going to talk about pocket pressure, you know.
So I'm in the gun.
You're in the gun. Listen, I think they need to spy him. I mean, this guy leads the NFL in rushing as a quarterback. So you're going to make sure that you have him accounted for. If he decides to drop back, there's nothing there. So I'm Jamie Collins. He's down here. The ball is snapped. I'm going to act like I'm in pass rush. But I'm not going to give too much space, because if he takes off, I got to make sure I have a nice angle to come get him. Yeah, he's definitely not as shifty as Zolak.
So no McCoy. Woods is dinged up. Who else on the outside? He's got nobody to throw the ball to.
So design runs.
Quarterback draws.
Quarterback draws is a good one. So, again, it's the same situation. So, you got four guys up here. You're gonna fade. Here he comes. You know he's going to want to run. So, as soon as he decides to run, you got to close the distance, because he's shifty. He doesn't lead the NFL in rushing as a quarterback for a reason.
No way to get swept by Buffalo.
No way. It hasn't happened since, like, 1999. I don't think it's going to happen on Sunday.
You ever been in Niagara Falls?
I have. In a barrel.
Niagara Falls! Slowly, I turn.
Rex Ryan!
Son! Buffalo! Buffalo!
The Opponent News is brought to you by Geico.
Last time the Bills and the Patriots squared off, the Bills shut out the Patriots at home for the first time since 1993. And now the Bills are looking for the first sweep of the Patriots since 1999. I'm Miranda Mason, and this is Bob Sosi, and we're here with your Opponent Spotlight. Now, Bob, when the Bills were in Foxborough, Tyrod Taylor passed for 246 yards, and LeSean McCoy put up 70 on the ground. But since then, they're a little banged up and have some new weapons.
Yeah, Robert Woods had a very good game for the Bills that day. He missed the Miami contest, a loss for Buffalo, snapping a four-game winning streak last week. Marquise Goodwin went into concussion protocol as well during that game. He's a deep threat for the Bills. So you wonder, where does Tyrod Taylor turn this week at Orchard Park, especially if LeSean McCoy is still bothered by the hamstring injury, which really limited him in South Florida? Well, likely candidate is Charles Clay. He's been a very well-respected tight end in this league as both a Dolphin and a Bill. 50-plus catches the last 3 years, two career touchdowns against the Patriots. He was coming off a knee injury in the first meeting of these teams, but he would likely be a favorite target, especially in the red zone, for Taylor and the Bills this week.
And defensively, it doesn't get much better than a shutout, but the Bills boast the league's leading tackler in Zach Brown. Right, Bob?
Zach Brown had 17 tackles, and when you talk about a guy being all over the field, he was that, literally and figuratively, in Foxborough. Had two forced fumbles, he had a sack, And maybe the best play was one that didn't count. He ran down Julian Edelman on the opening play from scrimmage for the Patriots on a 90-yard catch and run. And there was the linebacker, Zach Brown, the second-round pick out of North Carolina a number of years ago in 2012 by the Tennessee Titans, now in his first year as a Buffalo Bill. And as noted, he made his mark here in Foxborough, the first meeting of these teams.
Well, Bob, Bill Belichick should have quite a bit to say about the Bills, don't you think?
He will, and especially Lorenzo Alexander, another one of the standouts for the Bills defensively this year.
All right, so let's check in with Coach and Scott Zolak there in studio, and it's time for the Bellustrator.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now for the Bellustrator. And usually during Buffalo Week, Coach, we prepare for a big defensive player, maybe Shady McCoy or Tyrod Taylor. We're going to take a look at somebody else here.
Well, this week we'll start with Lorenzo Alexander, number 57. He's having a tremendous year for the Bills, both defensively and in the kicking game. Leads the league in sacks, leads the league in forced fumbles. Here's one of both against the 49ers. Beating Staley, too, who's, you know, one of the better tackles in the league.
Sure.
Does a nice job with his hands. Good ball awareness, gets a strip sack out there on Kaepernick. And so, you know, he lines up everywhere on the defensive line, outside, sometimes inside. No plays off for this guy. Plays on the punt team. Again, get away from Hull here, who's a, you know, pretty good hold-up guy for the Dolphins. Excellent tackle right there on Jarvis Landry, who's, as we know, one of the top returners in the league.
So this has been a progression for him, too, for the last several weeks, you know, getting to this stage. The guy's been in the league for, what, 10 years?
He's been there, yep. He was in Arizona and has just made such an impact this year, both on defense and special teams. He's an impact player in the kicking game in every phase. Here he is at the three on the kickoff against the Rams. Again, kind of the way he plays defense, comes down, does an excellent job here of working off looks like that's Meeks in front of him there. Kind of folds back, makes a tackle on the 15-yard line. So whenever he's on the field, we're going to have to do a good job on him. And he's having a great year for the Bills and both
defense
and
you love these seven players, too. The more you can do, special teams, defense, edge guys.
Yeah, he's an impact player in every phase of the game.
Okay, on offense.
Well, I mean, it all starts in McCoy. This is an interesting play here where you see Felton, the fullback, you know, running like 30 yards to try to find somebody to block. McCoy's got great speed, great vision, does an excellent job here of, you know, getting through the line of scrimmage. He's got a good burst. But, you know, this running game is, 5-3 per carry as a team. McCoy and Taylor have more yards than anybody in the league. McCoy's got more big runs than anybody in the league. So they do a good job. Unbalanced line, wildcat formations, different kind of, quarterback plays, gadgets in the running game, a lot of the same plays, but they dress them up differently and they make you align differently and so forth. Here's the power play, with Glenn, who's normally on the left tackle, over here at right tackle. So down block, seal it off, incognito, kicks out, Felton leads up into the line of scrimmage. And there's the power run, pretty much just the way you draw it up.
He really doesn't need that much of a hole either.
No, he doesn't.
He scoots right through it.
Yeah, and then where he does the damage, of course, is in the secondary with his speed, his vision, and his elusiveness and quickness there. So, again, a lot of big plays here. Very, very dangerous runner.
Another unbalanced look here, too, huh?
Yeah, this is their two tight look. And, this play really is more about tackling than it is about, a great scheme or a great hole. There's Forrest in the line of scrimmage, can't make a play. This is what we call, McCoy as a jump cut runner, where he'll come in, jump to the side, and then be able to re-accelerate quickly, almost as if he had never made the cut. There are very few backs in the league that can do this, certainly not do it as well as McCoy can, and avoid there and to come down and really, do the same thing here in the secondary. Come back and just, stop on a dime, change directions. Again, we're going to have to do a good job here with our secondary leverage players, linebackers, safeties, corners, whoever they are, coning the ball, making sure that we, use our help, use our leverage, and don't let him cut back and, get out of traffic like he does here, turn into an even bigger play. So a big challenge for us in the running game Sunday.
All right, Coach, looking forward to it.
All right.
Kickoff at 1:00. All right, there you go. There's your Bellustrator. But first, more Patriots All Access right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, you, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
How you doing, buddy? I'm Matthew. Good to meet you.
Patriots players gathered on their day off to help support one of their captains as well as a great cause.
We have a limited time with the platform that we have, and we want to try to use it as much as we can, and you know, especially when we see a need.
In an event billed as Matthew versus Matthew, special teams captain Matthew Slater held a bowling fundraiser at Splitsville Luxury Lanes at Patriot Place. The event was held to raise funds for Samaritan's Purse, an international relief organization that helps those affected by Hurricane Matthew.
This is our way of kind of reaching out an olive branch and hopefully providing them a fresh start on things as they look to rebuild.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now for our panel discussion. I'm Bob Ziscott, Furniture Studio, with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. And you know what? We're all getting spoiled here. Because last game, there was not much drama to it. It was sort of like a ho-hum game.
Yeah.
And yet they won. And do we appreciate that?
Yeah, I appreciate the victory. My ho-hum comes from the fact that Roethlisberger wasn't able to play. I was a little disappointed because I thought that was going to be sort of a showdown of two of the top teams in the AFC. I wanted a little bit of a preview of something I think that we might still see in January and see what it looks like. So for my spoiled nature, I'm guilty as charged. I was a little disappointed not to see Roethlisberger. Nothing about the game. The game was fine. They did what they needed to do on the road to win.
Well, the bar has been raised so high here. You know, you come back from Pittsburgh, you improve to 6-1, and quite honestly, you turn on like local sports talk radio and what are the topics of discussion? You know, this defense, I'm not so sure about it. What about the kicker? And you know, you might think the team was 1-6.
Right.
And you look around the league, Steve, and you know, this team is so much better. The product is so much better than what you're seeing around the league, and I think that's where
that's
the point of being spoiled.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Sometimes we need to look beyond New England to say, look, you know, I mean, no doubt, they didn't play perfect game. They even said that, but it was enough. You win 11 points on the road.
I want to get to the offense for a second and the way they ran the ball. Did they run the ball because they wanted to run the ball, or did they run the ball because Pittsburgh forced them to run the ball?
Well, I do think it was a little bit of both, and I do think that the scheme that Pittsburgh used invited that, and I thought Blount was outstanding. I thought he did a great job of hitting the hole. I thought he got through the holes a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. I didn't see him sort of dancing in the backfield as much in this game as I've seen in the past, so credit the offensive line, number one, for probably giving a little bit more time. But I do wonder, Steve, if Roethlisberger had played and potentially the Patriots had felt they needed more
right.
offense, more points than 27, would they have gone with a similar kind of a game plan? And I don't think they would have. I think that when in doubt, this team generally likes to put it in Tom Brady's hands. And in this game, I thought LeGarrette Blount came through in a very important time. He was outstanding.
Well, there's certain points in every game that are sort of defining moments where you find out a lot about yourself.
Right.
And I thought they were on the ropes. The Patriots were midway through the third quarter. You know, 14-13, Steelers had cut the lead to one, and the offensive line wasn't really holding up its end of the bargain in pass protection at that time. They needed to run it. And they settled it down with LeGarrette Blount. 11 yards, 25 yards. Back-to-back runs mm-hmm. to open that drive. Three-receiver package against nickel defense. And to me, that's when, if you can run the ball in that situation, that means you're a good running team. And we've often asked that question with the Patriots. Are they a running team? And I think they showed they are in that game. Sounds like Paul might not be ready to go that far just
no,
yet.
No, I think that if you can't run in that situation, you can never run. Because if you're going to go nickel and you can't run against that, then you just better pass every play.
So now we're turning the page to the team, the only team that has beaten the Patriots. And here's the thing. They sort of punked them at the beginning of this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do you avoid that? Do you look beyond that, or is this sort of like a little revenge even before they even hit the field?
Yeah, there'll be a lot of talk about the only thing that matters is how they play, and I know that earlier in the week Belichick said that to you, Mike, you know, in the press conference. They remember. They remember what happened. They remember that they had a banged-up third-string rookie quarterback who went out there and gutted one out. And they played, let's face it, they played left-handed. They had one hand behind their back, and they played. They didn't score any points. These things happen, you know. That's not because Buffalo did really anything that day defensively that was going to stop the full-strength Patriots offense. It's going to be a much different time this time around. And yes, they're going to remember the stuff that happened before the game.
Yeah, they remember it. They're not focusing on it right now, because if they're focusing on that right now, Steve, it's taking away from their preparation. But here's the way I look at it. If you're in the fourth quarter and you have a double-digit lead like you'd had in Cleveland and Tom Brady came out of the game with 6:02 left.
That's not happening.
I don't think that's happening in Orchard Park, New York on Sunday.
I do like the Patriots in this game in a bounce back. I think Gronkowski is back to being himself. Mm-hmm. He loves playing against Buffalo. He loves playing in Buffalo. I look for a couple of touchdowns down the seam for him. This is going to be a big win, I think, again. I'm going to say 37-17.
Yeah, bye week comes up after it. They want to go in with momentum. And obviously, two words, Steve, stand out what the difference is from this week to October 2nd when these teams met. Tom Brady. He's back, 38-20 Patriots.
Thanks, Steve. Great job, as usual. That'll do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Happy Halloween, everybody.